Gentiles forget to talk about, and thank you for the visitors who come. We appreciate that, and we ask that God has led you into our sanctuary today. We just know that God's going to work throughout this message. So many times with my messages, I like to use an illustration to kind of bring us into the text. And it's the message today probably isn't for the visitor, but yet you could still use it in your church. You go to church, but I believe it's for Calvary Free. Just wanted to share this illustration with you this morning to start in. It's the importance of partnering together as God's children. And it's about geese. And I got this from Erwin Brandt. And you know, those legacies still continue on, that even though he passed away, I don't know how many years it's been now, but we can still use them as mentors in our lives. Still use, I know when I'd go down there when I was in Madison preaching, if we went down to visit him, he'd always ask me, what are you preaching on this Sunday, or what did you preach on last Sunday? And you always kind of quiz me on that, so I was ready. But this is on geese. It's those stately geese I find especially impressive. Winging their way to a warmer climate, they often cover thousands of miles before reaching their destination. Have you ever studied why they fly as they do? It is fascinating to read what has been discovered about their flight pattern as well as their in-flight habits. Four come to mind. Those in front rotate their leadership. When one lead goose gets tired, it changes place with one in the wing of the V formation, and another flies at that point. By flying as they do, the members of the flock created an upward air current for one another. Each flap of the wings literally creates an updraft for the bird immediately following. One author states that by flying in a V formation, the whole flock gets 71% greater flying range than if each goose flew on its own. Thirdly, when one goose gets sick or wounded, two fall out of formation with it and follow it down to help it and protect it. They stay with the struggler until it's able to fly again. Fourth, the geese in the rear of the formation are the ones who do the honking. I suppose it's their way of announcing that they're following and that all is well. For sure, the repeated honks encourage those in front to stay at it. As I think about this, one lesson stands out above all others. It is the natural instinct of geese working together. Whether it's rotating, flapping, helping, or simply honking, the flock is in it together, which enables them to accomplish what they have been set out to do. So I'm using that analogy this morning for my sermon, as the geese, and then as the relationship of that formation and those helping out each other in the church here at Calvary, partnering in the church. And if you'll stand and turn with me to Exodus 17:8-13. Here we have Moses, Aaron, and Hur partnering together. Exodus 17:8-13. In Jesus' name. Now the Amalekites came and attacked the Israelites at Rephidim. Moses said to Joshua, "Choose some of our men and go out to fight the Amalekites. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the staff of God in my hands." So Joshua fought the Amalekites as Moses had ordered. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went to the top of the hill. As long as Moses held up his hands, the Israelites were winning. But whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. When Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. Aaron and Hur held his hands up, one on one side, one on the other, so that his hands remained steady till sunset. So Joshua overcame the Amalekite army with the sword. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your words of encouragement here. I pray for Calvary. You've given us, blessed us with so many years at Calvary, over 20 some years now, that this church has been filled with people who believe in the Word of God, to place it in their lives. I know in Scripture it even says they eat them. They're so important to our lives in everyday situations, everyday talk, everyday actions. Thank you, Lord, that we can come together as believers, knowing that you have a message for us today, a message to apply to our lives and to our congregation. Thank you, God, again, for the privilege of being able to come into your house of worship. Thank you for the privilege of being able to share your word. Open the hearts and minds now. Take away the distractions of the world, that we might be totally focused upon you. In thy name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. In these verses, I believe there's three points to share with you about partnering as Calvary Free or as the church today. We are the church. We are Calvary. First of all, Joshua partnering with Moses. Now, Jethro, the priest of the Midian, the Amalekites came and attacked the Israelites of Rephidim. Moses said to Joshua, "Choose some of our men and go out to fight the Amalekites. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the staff of God in my hands." Joshua was given quite a challenge here, quite a task of leading the Israelites into this battle. I imagine the Israelites were thinking to themselves, what next? What does God have next to us? They had just been released from Pharaoh, from bondage and slavery there. They had been led by God, the pillar of fire at night and a pillar of cloud during the day. Another eye-opener is God showed them that he could spread water, so they went across the Red Sea. God provided for them eating manna when they were in the desert. So what next? Well, we know that the Israelites really tested the Lord's patience all the way. Now came another battle, the battle of the Amalekites, who had really never bothered the Israelites before. Why? Because they were in bondage and slavery in Pharaoh, and he protected them. But as soon as Israel was set free from their bondage of slavery and experienced the desert, here they came. It was crucial for Joshua to attack them with everything that he had, physically, and to fight for their lives. Amalekites were killers. They're bad people. Moses' task was a little different. Moses goes to the top of the hill with the staff of God. And that was crucial also. Crucial that Moses could have the power of God in that staff. Moses had and did a spiritual effort. So why was the staff that Moses carried so important? It really was just a piece of wood. It was a staff that the shepherds used in guarding their sheep, guiding them along, defending maybe even the flock. But this piece of wood was a godly staff, to do godly things. That God used this staff to show his power to everyone. It was a staff that became the snake and ate up Pharaoh's sorcerers' snakes. It was a staff that turned the Nile into blood. It was a staff that parted the Red Sea. It was a staff that was used to strike the rock so the Israelites could have water. This staff was a symbol of God's love. Love that he cared for his people. God had wanted to prove his faithfulness, and his promises were true to them. On its own, this staff was just an ordinary piece of wood, but used in the strength of God's power, it had power beyond human belief. Both Moses and Joshua needed God to confront the battle, this threat that was facing them. Joshua could fight and pray at the same time? No. Could Moses have done both physically and spiritual things at the same time? No. Moses and Aaron needed each other to accomplish the situation, the battle that they were in. It sounds like the geese a little bit too. One just can't do it, can they? Because it proved if they stayed in the flock, they could go over 71% farther if they stayed in the flock instead of by themselves. And so I believe we as a church need to partner together to accomplish God's work. This church in the past, in the present, and now as Pastor Aaron and Michelle come, we'll have unity, I believe, through the partnership that we have for them. It's a partnership that's going to be with God's leading. Partnership of his way, God's wisdom, God's vision for Calvary, God's authority to the Word of God, God's strength that our congregation and Pastor Aaron will be able to stand up to the enemy, because we know that the enemy roars around like a lion. Secondly, the soldiers partnering with Joshua, 10 through 11. So Joshua fought the Amalekites as Moses had ordered, and Moses, Aaron, and Hur went to the top of the hill. As long as Moses held up his hands, the Israelites were winning. But whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. Israel didn't have much or any army at all, really. They really didn't need an army when they were in Pharaoh's camp, when they were under slavery. So they didn't have any training. So it really was their first major threat. So Joshua had to go to the 12 tribes to raise an army to help fight the Amalekite army. Could Joshua fight it alone? No. Of course not. He needed soldiers to come alongside with him. Brings me back to basic training, what we learned when we were in military. Not to just rely on yourself, but you're trained to rely on others. So when that battle, the real battle comes, that we are ready. And I pray that for Calvary too. We talked about in Sunday school the battle that we have in society that there's no stop signs, there's no absolutes, that everything is, well, if it feels good, do it. But whose fault is that? I think each of us can look at ourselves, wonder, well, I've done a lot of things. But have we really done God's things? I think as a class would say, we need to do better. We can always do better. So I believe it's the same for our church. No single person can do anything that has to be done. We need to have a church that works together, not expecting the pastor to do all things. No person in this church is any more important than anybody else. I believe sometimes in churches, there gets to be maybe this Lone Ranger attitude. That they think that a Lone Ranger can do everything. Some may even have the attitude of, it's my way or the highway. Can a lone goose really make much headway? Aren't they better staying with the flock? I'm not saying that critically, but sometimes that can creep in to a church. And I pray that it's not in this church, that we always uphold, that we work together in unity of bringing forth God's word, but also bringing forth unity within the church. Thirdly, Aaron and Hur partnering with Moses. Aaron and Hur partnering with Moses. When Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. Aaron and Hur held up his hands, one on one side, one on the other, so that his hands remained steady until sunset. So Joshua overcame the Amalekite army with a sword. I don't think this was any short-term battle. I think it was a long, long day. So Moses goes to the top of the hill, but he doesn't go there alone. Moses takes along with him Aaron and Hur. So what does Moses do on top of the hill? Well, we see that Moses raised the staff, and as long as his staff was up, the Israelites were overcoming the battle. They were winning the battle. Let's look at some other places where Moses raised his staff. Exodus 9, Moses stretched out his hands with his staff. Thunder and hail came over Egypt. Moses stretched out his hands with a staff, and locusts swarmed over the land. Moses stretched out his staff, and darkness spread over Egypt. Moses spread out his hand and took out, lifted up his staff and parted the Red Sea. When Moses' hands grew tired, Aaron and Hur were there to hold them up. I believe the lesson here today, and I know it is, we need each other. We need each other to accomplish what God has for us, the commission that we have, the commission of a called pastor. Thankful for the prayers that are answered. I know it's been over a year, year and a half maybe, but God answered in his time and in his way. And his man. But never forgetting the partnership that we have with each other and spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. I don't know how many of you have looked at our brochure that our church has of Calvary Free, and we have a mission statement on the front of it. I don't know how many have read that lately, but I read it. And I think it is good to share with you today. Calvary Free's mission statement. We, that means all of us, desire to make disciples by sharing God's word through baptism, worship, teaching, prayer, and witnessing. We seek to grow together in our relationship with Jesus Christ and at the same time care deeply about the ministry needs throughout the world. That's our mission statement. To go out beyond these walls and share the good news of Jesus Christ with those we come in contact with. So in closing, I believe here are a few ways that we can help lift the staff of Calvary. First of all, worship attendance. Hebrews 10:25 says, "Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing." We all live busy lives. It gets busier, as I was talking with someone out in the narthex before the service. How time goes. It seems as you get older, time goes. But we get caught up in this time. A time that we need to make a decision. Whom will we serve? I think it also, along with church attendance, sets an example of a mother and dad for their children. Of what's first. Secondly, I think ministry involvement at Calvary Free. Oh, excuses, excuses. We've heard that song, haven't we? I can't do that. I've heard that at times too. How do you know until you try? Thankful for, as I shared last Sunday, the gifts of the Spirit within the congregation. That we've seen people step in where it was needed, where ministry was needed. Thirdly, I believe prayer ministries. Let's be an Aaron and Hur, shall we, to Pastor Aaron and Michelle and the family. Praying for Calvary Church leadership. Pray for the deacons, pray for the deaconesses, the trustees, Sunday school teachers, parish head, WMF officers. Fourthly, I think tithing, maybe some financial, maybe tithing your time. Maybe we need to review our tithing, our giving. Is it the same this year as it was last year or the year before? Volunteering our help. Thank for all those who have helped at the parsonage, getting that prepared. For help with the youth. I know snow days, volunteers. Help with, I think there'll probably be a spring cleanup and fall cleanup. We know that there's always needs within this church. Lifting up the staff and inviting others to Calvary Free, to Bible studies, to church events. Isn't it so easy if we to invite another Christian friend to a Christian event? Why not take the challenge? Why not take the opportunity to take someone who doesn't know the Lord to that event? Our time, a little extra time on Sunday mornings would be good to be used in the prayer room. And we'll just be repetitious, but it's really a blessing to be with others here in prayer. I told those that were present this morning how much that means to me. It helps me to share. It's God's word. I want to share it right. I want to bring honor unto him, not me. That I'm just a vessel. Probably a broken vessel at times. But God molds those vessels. He molds us. The power in that prayer room means a lot. So I just pray that you would let that sink into your heart. I believe these are just a few ways that we as Calvary Free can lift up that staff that God has given Calvary. To lift up that staff that others might see the light of Jesus Christ, not only in our church, but in our lives. I'm sure when Pastor Aaron and Michelle come, they will join us in partnering with Jesus Christ and keeping the staff of God lifted high at Calvary. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for Calvary. I thank you for the lives that have come here. Come here seeking shelter. Come seeking and coming here to hear the truth. The truth that we see in our world as being whitewashed. Deception. No truth, no absolutes. God, we cry out to you that you would always know that the truth is preached from this God, from this pulpit. I pray that the truth will always come from Pastor Aaron too. God, look upon that family as a blessing to us. Lord, I pray that we might all partner together. When one is sick, that we pray. Thank you for the prayer line. Thank you for the outreach there. Thank you, God, that we believe in prayer. Now be with us as we go from Calvary. As that flock, continuing to encourage one another. Always helping out. Always volunteering. Because it makes it so much easier. So thank you, Lord, for your word today. In thy name we pray. Amen.